Welcome back to We Still Like Each Other, the podcast. I'm Travis.
And I'm Stephanie.
And this is the podcast where we show that the honeymoon stage can last forever.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. What's up, baby?
Not much. How's it going?
Good. Good. You know, gloomy day.
Yeah. I feel like the gloominess, we've been feeling it, like you and I today.
Hell yeah. There's something about that weather that is translating to my mood.
Yeah, we were like, why does it feel like we were in an energy vacuum? Like, we just feel like depleted.
Yeah, it could be rough, but we're pushing through.
I had a really good time yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes. It's always nice seeing people you haven't seen in a while and actually sticking to plans that you make in advance. Yeah, so
Travis has this good friend he used to work with, and every once in a while they talk and the conversation ends with, we gotta hang out sometime. Yeah, soon, soon. And I said, no. Pick a day. Stop saying soon, because then it never happens. Like, there's been this meme going around, like, adult friendships are like, what are you doing 3 months from now? And yeah, like, pencil it in. So we penciled in this past Saturday, well, yesterday, and we went out to like lunch, and then we just hung out at their apartment, and it was beautiful. The kids were playing, having a good time. And I love that for us in our adulthood friendships, like just making plans in advance and doing our best to stick to them.
Yeah. The older I get, the more I realize that you have to be super intentional when it comes to your adult friendships, and things aren't just going to happen by accident. Sometimes they will.
Yeah.
But more than usual, they won't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I need to practice that more.
Absolutely.
What else is going on?
This is episode 69.
Oh, y'all know we bring in that sex today.
Actually, we're not.
No sex?
Okay. No sex today. But it was funny when I saw it was episode 69. I'm like, we got to talk about 69. So just real quick, what is your opinion on 69, the position?
Seems a lot cooler than it actually is. And usually ends up with one person not giving their all.
Okay, yeah. I feel like it's hard for me to focus on giving while receiving. So awkward. And also, you have to be the perfect height for 69 to work, because if one person is much shorter, then like it doesn't work, it doesn't reach.
I'm not even touching that one.
It's overrated. Yeah, anyway, that's all you'll get about 69 and sex today.
That's all for that's not all for sex, but
it's gonna come up. Ooh,
it may
come up. That is not like a major topic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We do have an also, y'all can relate.
Yes.
And oh, Travis, man, is going to read it today. We're going to switch it up. He's going to be reading the also, y'all can relate. And yeah, I'm excited for that.
Extra deep voice on this story today. With the also, y'all can relate, I want to thank people for actually using the contact on our
website. Yes.
Yeah, it's been cool. You know, we said, oh, yeah, you can be even anonymous from us. And people was like, oh, word?
Yeah. So if you send us a message through our website, it does ask for your email,
but you can put anything.
But someone put like anonymous@test.com and it worked, and they sent us something completely anonymous. So if you want to share a story or ask us for advice using that, send it. Put also y'all can relate as well in the subject, because we want to use it on the show. Give us some content, we'll give you some advice.
Yes.
All right, so did you have a did you know for today? I feel like we didn't even talk about it.
I do.
Oh, okay. Did you know?
Did you know? Did you know he likes the way you look? If a guy's in love with you, he likes the way you look. You don't have to be self-conscious about your appearance. He already loves every inch of you.
I don't know. That's
I'm so sick of like her saying negative things about herself, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what does that say about me if like you feel all these things about yourself? Like, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
And I'm not just trying to gas you up.
Yeah, you have to, since everybody on TikTok thinks you don't think you don't
think highly of you,
highly of me, and that you want to be with other women. But I think that women or people in general have insecurities that aren't directly related to how their partner feels about them. So even if you do think I'm 100% beautiful or whatever, I'm still entitled to deal with how I feel about myself. And it's also still my responsibility, right? Because I feel like maybe you feel like you're letting me down in some way if I have an insecurity, right? You're like, But hello, I'm your husband. I tell you you're beautiful. I think you're beautiful. No, I love you.
And I'm not even taking it from that angle. I'm not saying I'm not doing something. I'm just saying, what does that say about me that I married someone who is ugly? That's what I'm trying to say.
First of all, I never said I was ugly.
No, but what I'm saying, when you start saying negative things about yourself, mm-hmm. I'm like, chill. Like, you're beautiful. Like, your beauty is what caught my attention, not your brain.
Well, okay. But my brain is pretty fired, but too.
I'm being honest. Like,
yeah, the first time you saw me, you didn't know.
It wasn't like I knew she was intelligent.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Ooh, 6'9" with her would be, ooh.
Ew, yuck. I get it. But back to what I was saying is that it is a personal responsibility, but your partner can play a role in it. But at the end of the day, it's a personal responsibility for you to practice self-love, speak to yourself kindly, and embrace who you are. As best you can, even if you got to fake it till you make it. Like, I know when I post pictures with no filters or no makeup, or even podcasts with no makeup, I'm actively talking to myself. Like the past episode, I loved it. I'm like, oh, my hair looked good. I like my sweater. The camera quality was like amazing. But I'm like, you could really see this scar that I have by the side of my mouth. Like, it was so exaggerated. And I had to like reframe it in my mind, like, talk myself down from talking to myself like shit, pretty much.
I think everyone has that about them. I know there were times where prior to you, I wouldn't even leave the house if I didn't look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Now I don't give a fuck.
You're still a little like with your hair and stuff. No. You're a little like.
How many times have I left the house and my hair is like pointing this way?
You just don't want to take a picture. That's true. You're right.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to turn on my selfie camera, but I don't I'll walk through Walmart. I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I maybe a little more self-conscious. I'm not saying we're famous by any means, but you never know it.
Like, you're right. Like, imagine someone's like, hey, and they, oh my god. I know. Anywho, yeah, self-love is so important. And I'm reading this book, which is leading us into the first topic. I'm reading Lighter by Young Pueblo. So if you follow us on Instagram, I share some of his posts often, because honestly, his posts always seem so relatable, which is why I think he's so successful, because the things he speaks about, we can all relate to at some point. Maybe we don't relate to it right now, but we did in the past. Or maybe we're not at that level of being healed or at that level of enlightenment, but we aspire to be there, right? Mm. So he'll post things that are like goals, like, yep, I want to feel this way, like affirmations in a sense. So that's why I think he's so good, right? Because anyone could read it and be like, ugh, that resonates with me in some way, shape, or form, right? So on our website, I did write a reflection. So we have a blog section. If you haven't checked it out yet, sign up for our newsletter so you could get updates. But at the end of chapter one, which was titled Self-Love, he had a few writing prompts and it inspired me to write. And I wanted to share it with you all. So check that out on our website.
Beautifully done. I'm not even a big reader. And I read that. I was proofreading it. I was like, fuck. Stop. And not just because it's my wife.
He'd be gassing it. No.
Listen, I'm already gonna get laid no matter what I say right now. Yeah, it's just very well written, and you really need to, like, you really have a gift, and I'm happy that you're giving it to the world. So yeah.
Thank you. I still think I could do better. Like, after I wrote it and was about to submit it, I'm like, should I post this? But like, fuck it, whatever. If someone reads it and feels inspired, that's enough. But today we're going to talk about something that came up in chapter two, and chapter two is called healing. And I wanted to talk about it because it kind of, what's the word, but it made sense to something we're kind of going through right now. So chapter two is called Healing, and he talks about how everything that we experience, everything we feel, leaves a mark on us. It conditions us. It conditions the way we think, and it also conditions the way we perceive things and how we behave, our behavior, right? And one of his quotes says, our conditioning is literally the past that we carry with us wherever we go. So something that happened in our childhood, which is what most people focus on, is impacting our perception. So how I see something might be different than how you see something because our experiences are different. But it also impacts our behavior, how we treat one another, how we react, right? But then because of something we're dealing with right now, which I'll be open about it, just like many couples tend to experience this, I felt like we were in a space where we were bickering, and subconsciously, without even realizing it, we were kind of defensive. Like every little situation felt like a little mini battle.
Yeah.
Down to the meaningless things, right? Like it just felt like it was you and I against each other instead of you and I against a problem. And I'm grateful that we're at a space that we acknowledge those moments and we're like, hold up, let's regroup. Like, why are we on the defense? Why are we bickering back and forth? So it made me think of like this conditioning that we talk about from childhood. Yes, that's major. But we also could condition ourselves day to day in our situations, right? So if I notice we've been fighting a lot over nonsense, but I didn't acknowledge it and I didn't attempt to make a stop to it, it will prolong, right? And now my instant reaction to anything you say, anything you suggest is the defense. Yeah. It's an argument.
That's why I think unlocking communication in your relationship is just so, it has to be like a top priority. Mm-hmm. Because if we didn't have the ability to communicate with one another the way that we do, that could have spiraled into something very nasty. And
top of communication, it's like not putting blame, right? Mm. Because I could have easily said, we're fighting a lot because of you.
XYZ.
Because what you're doing or something you said. And it's also personal accountability, right? Because I could say, well, I'm reacting this way because of what you're doing, instead of taking personal accountability for the things I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a I won't go too deep into it, but we had a conversation about it last night, and it was a great feeling just seeing how the conversation was turning towards just more of a positive outcome. Like I could just see the direction where the car was heading, and it felt good. Like it made me feel good that we even started that conversation in the first place, because, you know, sometimes you talk to people and it's just like, outside of even romantic relationships, and you know nothing positive is going to come from this.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that
when we have the conversations, there's like a positive outcome at the end.
It's not like, well, agree to disagree, fuck you.
Yeah. And I think the reason we're there is because we know that at the end of the day, we want to be together. We want to be together and be happy, not arguing, not bickering, not being that couple that's constantly fighting, right? Because we don't want our kids to see that. We don't want the world to see us in that light. And it's not a happy place. There is no joy in that. So our goal at the end of the day is to create joy, to foster a space where we're happy. So when we notice that things are getting in the way and we're getting naggy or bitchy, like we need to stop it. Okay, yeah, so what are we going to do?
That's one thing. I can't sit in that. I can't. I don't know. It's more so around this relationship, because in previous relationships, I would just be like, well, you know, fuck her, whatever. Mm-hmm. She'll come around.
Yeah.
For some reason here, I don't know if it's because like I'm really in it, but I can't sit in that feeling of just negativity and just knowing something is off and pretending like it's not.
Or the cycle of it happening so often. Even if they're short little like moments, right? Because sometimes you'll have a little argument or a little bicker and you're over it and you're fine. But if I'm having those little moments of annoyance like constantly, multiple times a week, like even that shit's annoying. It's like, no, like, can I have fucking peace for like 3 days in a row?
Yeah.
Without us having an argument? Even if they're meaningless, they still weigh on you, right? And there starts to be this like heaviness on our relationship. And this book is called Lighter, right? So removing that like, ugh, that like muggy, sluggy feeling of like wanting space from each other, which is what eventually happens when couples are consistently fighting. You end up needing space. And it's like, we hate space. So we need to fix
it. Well, you did try to sleep on the couch the other
day. Yeah, I did. Because we had like a disagreement right before bed. And I was like falling asleep on the couch. And I was like, I'm going to stay here.
And you're like, just leave me. Just leave me. I was like, get your ass up. You could be angry on the bed.
On the bed.
With your butt poked on me.
And then I didn't want to have another argument, so I was just like, fine. And I got up. But then, right, so when I'm reading this about the childhood and the conditioning, I started thinking about us. And I'm like, what about conditioning now? Mm. Like, not just childhood. Not that I'm diminishing how important it is, but let's be realistic about how our actions now can create these habits, right? He talks about leaving a mark. And even our brains, like, we're creatures of habit. So literally our brains have pathways of things that it's used to and it repeats it, right? We can easily create new habits, right? Day to day. Of course, a few pages later, he has a section that's like, I think it's called Beyond the Child, Beyond Childhood or something like that. Hold on. More Than Childhood. And he goes into that, like about how our actions today impact what we're going through, right? So I'm going to read something from the book. A lot of our most dense conditioning is accumulated during childhood, which has a major impact on our personality and patterns, but our conditioning never stops being molded. Every time we react and feel one heavy emotion or another, it leaves an imprint in the subconscious of the mind, which shifts our conditioning. Childhood has a massive impact, but so does any hurt you feel as you move through life. All emotions are not only felt in the moment. Every time we react to them, they set us up to feel them again and again in the future. Our character is never fully set in stone, as our subconscious is always moving, just like any other aspect of the universe. And it has the capability to let old patterns go or acquire new ones.
Mm. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, although we talk about how important your childhood is in establishing, it's like laying like grassroots, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to be an adult just as long as you were a child, if that makes sense,
or
right?
Longer.
So, or longer. So, of course, it's natural that you'll pick up new things, even if you heal from old things.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like what tends to happen is that when people get into an era, a space where they're reflecting on their childhood, they're stuck in that. Or they're using their childhood experiences to
justify,
yes, their behaviors. I feel like when we reflect on our childhood, it's so that we're aware that, for example, I'm going to use myself as an example. When I think about my reactivity, right? It's a negative trait that I feel like I've wanted to improve. I want to be less reactive. I want to be more thoughtful and have more compassion when I speak, right? No matter how it makes me feel, I want to have more control over the way I react, right? Yes, I can look to my childhood to see why I developed this reactivity, but I'm not going to stay stuck in it. Looking at my childhood,
I feel like it should be more so used for research purposes.
For research and to remind myself, like, I wasn't born this way. It isn't an innate quality. It isn't because I'm a Gemini. It's that it's something I went through. It created this behavior pattern that was necessary at a time. But just like I built this behavior, I can unlearn it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
And it gives you compassion. You give yourself grace. But then you're like, okay, now I can be better. And it also, when the feeling comes up again, you're more aware. Like, oh, this makes sense. Because when something like this happened in childhood, I needed to react. I don't need to anymore now.
Yeah.
So you kind of relate that awareness to what's happening, but don't stay stuck in it. Like, you're able to move on.
What do you think of, I'm sure there's some people who their personality traits are directly connected to things that happened in their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they can't necessarily remember why, mm-hmm, or what those things are? Is it even worth trying to dig? Because I'm sure there are things about myself that can correlate to my childhood, but it's not that I could remember every single detail. And I've told you a lot of times, some of my childhood is kind of warped in the sense that it's kind of been retold to me so many times that I don't know if it's...
So am I remembering the event or am I remembering the stories people are
exactly.
saying? I don't think it's necessary to uncover... Like, I feel like some traumatic experiences, people forget them, right? And that's a survival tactic. Like, our brains protect us from very severe trauma, right? By forgetting it. So I don't think you necessarily need to remember it. Like, remember it. If not, you can never heal. But I think just the understanding that your body, your mind created this behavior pattern to protect you, but it's okay to let it go. It's okay to leave it in the past is enough.
Yeah. Even if you don't fully understand the origin.
The origin, exactly what happened. Like, you could put two and two together without, you know, necessarily knowing all of the details.
Gotcha.
And I also, when in reflecting on all this conditioning, right, and how our behavior can change, it could also change for the better, right? When people say, watch who you hang around, it reminds me of that. It's because what you are, the behaviors you see, the energy you're around is going to impact you and how you behave, how you interact. So when I'm around people, I feel like at this age, I like to be around people who are compassionate and empathetic. Like, I hate being around bullies or people who are just like, who feel better than other people. Like, if you treat restaurant workers poorly or something like that, or someone at, like a nurse at the hospital, and you're giving them attitude for no reason, like that kind of shit rubs me the wrong way and I don't like it around me. I don't also don't like being around people who compare in a negative sense. I feel like we should compare or aspire to be like other people, and that could be healthy. But if you're doing it in a way to put people down so your situation feels better, it's like, ugh, I don't want to be around that shit.
Kind of reminds me of like pocket watchers. It's like, I feel like it's kind of in the same vein.
Okay. Explain what pocket watcher is.
Like, you see someone, oh, they took like 10 trips this year. Wonder how they doing that. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. I feel like there's some negative envy slash hate thing going on there.
There is. But it also, it depends, right, on the content. Because if you're pocket watching because there's some other financial situation, like if somebody owes you money and they're taking 10 trips, then it's like, all right, you can mention it. But like if you're just minding someone's business for no fucking reason.
As I was saying, that it kind of reminds me, we've seen people going on a lot of trips and then it's like inspiration.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, damn, we got to do better.
Oh, like, look how beautiful. Like, and especially me, like I have stress about traveling with kids. And honestly, it's a scarce mentality, right? Because also traveling is expensive, right? So I think of traveling with kids is even more expensive. And then I think, like, can they even, are they going to remember it? Are they going to care that they're traveling? And I would equate spending money on a trip for a kid as wasteful. But that's because we don't have a lot, right?
It's like we don't have it to waste.
It's like a scarce mentality, right? But if you got it, it's not about if your kid will remember it. It's about you remembering
that your kid was there.
That your kid was there and the experience that you had with your kid, right? So it's a shift in perspective. And I feel like sometimes when if we step back and not project what we're going through on other people, then we're not pocket watching. And we could look at people with what's the word? Like admiration instead of jealousy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I think I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Are you ready for?
Yeah, my first one. I'm so excited.
Your first. Also, y'all can relate.
All right.
So remember, you can go to our website, submit yours.
Oh, also, if you made it this far.
Yeah.
And you're watching on YouTube, hit that like.
Yes.
Drop a comment
on this video.
What else? If you're listening on the podcast platforms, Go leave us a 5-star rating.
Absolutely.
Anything less, just keep on listening. Hopefully we change your mind.
And
by
also,
the end.
If you follow us on social media, engage with our stuff. You know, the algorithm is strange. So if you feel like you haven't seen our stuff pop up on Instagram, go to our page and spam us with likes and comments.
DM us.
Yes.
I think that add to favorites feature is still pretty handy on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I noticed that anytime I add someone to my favorites, I always see their stuff immediately.
So add us to your favorites.
Yes.
And we also still have merch available.
Yes, yes, yes. On westilllikeeachother.com. All right. Damn, I didn't give it a title.
Oh, so y'all can relate. That's all right. We could title it after.
Okay. I've been wanting to reach out to you guys about my relationship for quite some time now. But I think now is the time because my relationship has ended. It's hard for me to share this because I'm still processing. My son's father and I had been together almost 4 years and it wasn't perfect. I thought to myself, that's okay. There's no one's perfect. Even Travis has some things he can improve on with Stephanie. And honestly, some of those things were what I craved in my relationship. Not the fact that Stephanie wanted more date nights or wanting Travis to be able to cook more for the kids, but the fact that he is open to put that work in and make changes for the woman he loves. Hmm. Hold the fuck up.
What?
Y'all ain't not about to be using me as an example.
That's obviously the point of this podcast.
I know. It's so weird, right? I read this email like, my name.
The other day I was talking to someone through DM and we were talking about like dating and like how men ain't shit, right? And I was like, you know what? Travis wasn't shit either when we first got together. She's like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, just go listen to episode one. All right. So we got together and everything was perfect. I had finally healed from my previous marriage and was honestly living my best life. I was 30, flirty, and thriving. I had my friends. I had my career. I had even been celibate as a promise that I wouldn't give it up to these fuckboys anymore. And then I received a DM from someone from my past and I stopped in my tracks. I couldn't wait to let him know I was divorced and single. He was separated from his wife and claimed to be getting a divorce and seemed like he was doing well for himself. We started dating and we were inseparable. My daughter loved him and I thought this was the happy ending for me. I was ignoring red flags like him being jealous and accusing me of talking to other men.
We can't ignore the red flags.
But, you know, hindsight is, was it 2020?
Yeah. But still, it's true. Hindsight is 2020. Like, you're like, I wish I could go back. But when you feel something in your gut that you're identifying as a red flag.
But that's only because she's reflecting on the relationship or the marriage or whatever it was.
But she's saying I was ignoring red flags. So it's like she felt them.
Yeah.
Like, jealousy and accusing her of talking to other people is a red flag.
But also, I could imagine in the moment, she's so obviously giddy over this guy, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we equate jealousy to like, oh, he really likes me.
And that's a shift in our perspective that we need to have as a society overall. Jealousy, I feel like some people, even like if their partner isn't jealous, it's a problem. Mm. Like even when we were watching Bachelors in Paradise, and
but Rodney
was dating Eliza. Someone else asked Eliza out on a date and he said, I don't want you to go, but you can. She was upset because she wanted him to say, no, don't go.
Like, no, like control her. I'm putting my foot down.
What? Like, what world is this? That we want our partner to be toxic.
In 2022.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. So yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
I tried to hold him accountable when he said he wanted to start his business and make positive changes in his life. But every time I would hold him accountable, an argument would start because I was telling him what to do.
Oh, God. This is like typical, like women being mothers to their partner, even though they don't want to be.
I don't view it as motherly. I just think you're with someone, you choose someone to hopefully spend the rest of your life with. Mm-hmm. Like the partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Hold me accountable. It's like why you have checks and balances in companies and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, but he sees it as she's telling me what to do. Like in his head, he's like, you're trying to like be like this authority figure over me. He's not seeing her as a partner who's holding him accountable. He's seeing her as like this woman who's nagging me like a mother.
And what I'm saying is I see it from his point of view, but I also see it from hers. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't see it from his point of view, mm-hmm. but I see it from hers. It's like, you're my partner. I'm mm-hmm. going to give some you know, advice on things. If I see you going down the wrong road, I'm not just going to keep till you hit the dead end.
We eventually need to have an episode where we talk about how to hold each other accountable in a way that doesn't feel like motherly, fatherly, and that's not triggering. Because I feel like we're kind of dealing with that, where we're trying to figure out how to hold each other accountable without hand holding each other. You know, like accountability and self-responsibility at the same time, like finding that balance.
Yeah.
But all right, let me stop going off track.
Another red flag. Suddenly, the friends I had and the life I was living faded, and it was just him and my daughter until I got pregnant. Pregnancy was great, but the accusations never stopped. I realized I no longer was fixing myself up or talking to my friends like I used to. I was always explaining myself to him anytime my phone rang or if he heard a man's voice if he called me at work.
My eyes is like, what? Because it'd be different if he heard a man's voice in her house, but she's at work. What the hell?
You can't work with men.
Listen, you know what kills me? Not to sound toxic. It might sound toxic, but it's like, it be the men who are like that, who can't afford to like keep their woman at home anyway.
That's a good point.
Like,
if you that jealous.
If you that jealous, you know, you got money? I'll quit this job right the fuck now. But all right, no, that's toxic.
That's not the
answer. That's not the answer. No, I'm just saying.
The dream to open his business went away, and now he started learning more about markets and how to trade, and he was driving Uber.
Oh, red flag. The traders? I'm sorry.
I don't mean to sound like an asshole, but something about these traders in Uber. I feel it like this is like the third story we've had about that.
It sounds like the Ford Fex, like those DMs you get, the scammers. Like, I do believe that there's honest money in investing, right? But people think it's like a fast money. Like, they're going to be trading like the way Radio Shack had that thing that like, people make mad money in one day.
AMC and
yeah, like that's not realistic.
I have a friend. I was just speaking to. He's helping me with my computer. He's a trader.
Okay,
but he also doesn't have a family, doesn't have any kids, and can do it at his leisure.
Okay,
there's no one relying on him to spend quality time or to keep a roof over their head or to pay bills.
Okay,
so in that scenario, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes you gotta swallow your pride, but. I may be jumping ahead a little.
I was going to say also that there is real money in investing. And I think that's where privilege comes in and people whose parents maybe invested years ago, X, Y, and Z. It's a long game and there's actual tools that we can use and learn to build generational wealth. So I don't want to dismiss that. But go ahead.
All right. So now he started learning about the markets and how to trade. And he was driving Uber. He gave up his car and started driving my car to do Uber. And my registration ended up being suspended due to unpaid parking tickets and tolls.
That's it. This right here is the end. Like, I'm all for second chances and fixing things. But I think this is the ultimate level of disrespect. And this is not the first time I've heard about a situation like this. Like, I've heard multiple times men using women's cars, not paying tickets, not putting gas, leaving them stranded, like doing wild shit with women's cars. Like, why is this a thing? And it's one of those things, like, I try to humble myself and I don't like to say could never be me. But when it comes to money and being taken advantage financially, like, I have this deep within my soul that it could never be me.
I told you what I want our next shirt to be.
What?
A picture of your face saying, what would Stephanie do?
Oh, or I could never. Nah, let me stop. Okay, let me bring it back. It pisses me off. Like, financial abuse, especially from women, like, literally drives me nuts.
Damn, I keep losing my spot.
This is it. Come on, baby.
He gave up his car and started driving my car. And what the fuck? Sorry. Okay. He said he would take care of it, but still hasn't till this day. I started giving him money sometimes, my entire checks. to support his Uber career.
Oh, my God.
Because since my car was no longer available, he had to rent a car with them. And if you don't know, it costs at least $2,000 a month to rent a car with Uber. So if anyone has ever thought about doing it, please don't.
Wait, what? The financial abuse just got worse. My heart. I want. So if it costs $2,000 a month to rent a car, like how much do people who drive Uber make then?
Like they're probably doing pretty good if you're on the road 7 days a week.
Jesus. Okay.
But subtract $2,000, subtract taxes, subtract not having health insurance. It doesn't sound like it's worth it.
If you do Uber and you're successful, let us know. I want to know. Because yeah. I'm sure people are making a living. I know people support families on it.
Yeah. And I feel like you're probably more successful if you invested in having your own vehicle.
Or if you split a vehicle. Like if you rent a car for a month.
I'm sure there's some rules against
that. Maybe someone does a day shift and someone does a night shift with the same car.
Oh, you mean like you both put in for a car? Not yeah. that you're renting it from Uber?
No, I meant renting it from Uber. Maybe you can't. I don't know.
Probably. Insurance purposes.
Like who's driving?
Yeah. But anyway.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway, we used to split the bills 50-50, but then I listened to your podcast and I realized it was really 80-20 since I was providing more financially with the housework and with the kids.
Period.
If I vented to my friends about my frustration, he would tell me I'm gossiping and I can't be trusted.
That's the type of people that want to silence you. They don't want people to know because they're like, if you tell other people, they're going to know I'm obviously manipulating you and taking advantage of you. So don't tell anyone.
I feel like, and we've said this numerous times on this podcast, the worst advice to an extent that you can give a newly married couple is keep your problems amongst yourself.
Don't tell anyone. That's a feeding ground for abuse and manipulation, like not being able to tell people what's going on.
Yeah. I shouldn't be telling my business to people, even though I have little friends and they've been in my life for 10 plus years. The accusations became worse to the point where I got my menstrual cycle and he accused me of being penetrated.
Oh my fucking God.
Our sex life was never great because he was selfish in the bedroom and always wanted oral and said I needed to give it to him on site when he asked. Who wants to do that after being the primary caretaker and breadwinner and constantly being accused?
Ooh. We need to talk about that. We were talking the other day about some situation about how sexual attraction isn't just, oh, you're hot. It's also like what the person provides to you throughout the day, throughout life. Like if you're being taken advantage of financially and you're always being accused of something, like your sexual desire for that person is gonna be low, you know? And that's, hello, you don't turn me on. Your behavior isn't conducive of me being like, oh, I wanna fuck this guy, you know?
Yeah, I forget what I did like a few months ago and then you just kind of like, hey, let's go. I forgot what I was doing. Some household chore. And it turned you on. I was like, all right, I'll take it. All right. We never spent time together because he would work long hours to pay for the rental and would spend his hours home locked in the office. Even still, I tried to have hope that things would change. All of our bills and rent were behind since I was doing everything alone. But if I mentioned him getting a regular job, it was like I said, the worst thing in the world. Anytime I wanted to spend time together, I was interfering with his plans to be in the office trading. I grew resentment and tried to share my feelings with him. But anytime I shared my feelings, he had something to say about me right back.
You know what's crazy? Because it's like if she wanted to spend time with him, he could use that against her, like if his trades didn't do well. Oh, it's because we wanted to hang out. If you would have let me alone in my office, it's like manipulation, like 1,000%.
And also waiting until she comes to him with something that he's doing to bring up stuff that he feels that she's doing.
And I always say, like, honestly, Travis and I, we are investing a lot when it comes to this podcast, our equipment, our merch, our website, like, We haven't even broken even. Like, we've put a lot more money into this podcast than we've made, right? But I will say that our rent is paid, and our car is paid. Like, there's certain basic necessities, especially when you have children, that need to be handled. And I've always said it, like, we're not too proud. Like, we're doing anything before our rent goes unpaid. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah, you need to get a regular job. If Uber's not cutting it, if trading's not cutting it, go get a fucking job.
Yeah. And it's not to say that your dreams of being successful at those things have to die.
Yeah.
But you just have to alter your plan, because you can get a regular job and still be a good partner, still be a good father, and find time to fit in. Like, Steph and I have recently been having conversations around me fitting in time for things that I enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for you, this trading thing is something you enjoy because it's not bringing in money. It might as well be a fun video game. Like, that's the facts.
Yeah.
So when you view it in that same light, you'd be like, all right, I can go get a regular job, whatever that looks like, and fit in, I don't know, 2 hours in the evening to focus on that and hopefully get better to maybe one day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like passive income. But right now it's not. And, you know, I mean, this advice is for her, but shit, maybe you'll hear it and say that you're going to lose your relationship because of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like he did already.
But honestly, there's other shit other than you focusing on this. Yeah. But, you know, fuck. I grew resentment. He would keep me. Okay, this part is crazy.
He would. There.
Yeah. He would keep me on the phone for hours, even if we weren't speaking. And I used to think it was cute until I started to think maybe he does it to make sure I'm not speaking to another man. Mm. He blamed me for our lack of sex on. Oh, no. He blamed our lack of sex on me talking to another man. I never once looked at anyone else. He would break up and make up with me and say he would change. And at first I would believe him, still having hope things would get better. I didn't want to be a single mom again now with two kids, with two baby daddies.
A lot of women stay in shitty situations because of that. Especially if they have a second baby daddy. It's like, you don't want to be judged by the world, but nothing. What's most important is your safety and your children's happiness. And if you are being manipulated and taken advantage of, it's going to trickle down on your children. Like, fuck that. Fuck what people are going to say. Fuck what people think. And let that motherfucker go.
Yeah. Shit. I know plenty of women with multiple baby daddies who are thriving.
Yeah. Like, who cares? Like, fuck that.
Yeah. Any man that doesn't want you because of those things ain't the man for you.
And it's just the whole control thing, like staying on the phone for hours. And she said she thought it was cute at first, but then it was like, no, this was a control tactic the whole time. And I feel like, honestly, it's only been 4 years. It could get worse. Like, this could be him still, what do you call that?
Testing the waters.
Testing the waters, but slowly molding her to be able to take full control of her. So I'm hoping she actually left for good. Because sometimes we'll get messages like this and I'm like, it's been a few days. I wonder if they got back with them, you know?
It also reminds me of, you know, we were living in the Bronx for a long time. And every time you get into like an Uber or a taxi, they're always on the phone with someone. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're like semi-abusive. Like, I bet. And you always think to yourself, like, who the fuck has time to be on the phone all day?
Yeah. Or maybe they just met and it's like the beginning phase.
Yeah, I know. We're texting like crazy when we first got together. But then you see it's something that she thought was cute slowly turn into, you just don't trust me.
Yeah.
And it's even weirder that she never even gave him a reason.
Mm-hmm. The whole period thing, like, have you got your period? What? That's psycho to me. Sorry.
So I kept on holding on until one day I didn't want to stay on the phone anymore because I needed some me time. I was questioned about what I exactly needed time for. And to be honest, I just wanted to make some lunch while listening to a new podcast I had found. I tried to keep the peace and apologize for wanting to hang up, apologizing even though I didn't think I did anything wrong. Mm-mm. A few hours later, he told me again our relationship wasn't working and asked for what felt like the 100th time if I still wanted to be in the relationship. And usually I would say, of course, I do. But this time I said I didn't and we were not working and we needed to break up. And so we did. and we've had no contact for a few days.
I really hope they haven't had contact again. Oh.
I miss him so much, and my chest feels heavy. I started looking things up on Google and TikTok because, you know, TikTok be dropping gems. And I thought to myself, was I in a relationship with a narcissist?
Yep.
Was I being emotionally abused?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, why am I so sad that it's over?
Because you were conditioned to enjoy that. He was making you feel loved. He was making you feel wanted. Like, we were just talking about conditioning. He was literally manipulating her and conditioning her to accept love in the form of abuse.
So I guess that's my question for you guys, because I'm struggling with reality. I'm struggling to realize the man I loved for so long was manipulating, isolating, and gaslighting me. Or was he?
Yes, he was.
I keep asking myself, am I giving Zeynep vibes from Love is Blind when she exaggerated the cutie scene?
You can't exaggerate the fact that he let your registration go up because he didn't pay tickets. You can't exaggerate you having to give him your whole check for him to drive Uber. Like, what? For that point, be a stay-at-home dad and let me just pay the bills.
Am I exaggerating?
No.
Was I emotionally abused and manipulated?
Yes, you were.
Where do I go from here?
I'm just hoping. So there's something that I want to talk about. People think that leaving a toxic relationship is like a no-brainer and that it's going to feel good when you finally leave. No, that shit's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Because you've become accustomed to the toxicity. It becomes your new norm.
Yeah.
Those pathways in your brain that develop, it's craving that repetition. It's even going to crave the negativity.
Like, even the fact that she would spend her days just on the phone, just listening to silence.
It was company.
That was just so a part of her norm that, yep, it's just like, when it's not happening, you kind of miss
lonely.
It. It's Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yep. He was kidnapping her. Absolutely. Getting out of bad situations does not feel good. In the long term, it will. And one day you'll be able to look back and say, thank God I had the strength to deal with the pain of leaving.
I personally think she's very strong. Even the fact that she took the time to write this email.
Yeah.
Because she's very self-aware. And, you know, sometimes people are self-aware, but you hope that they follow through.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she was listing these things out and she's aware of all these moments that, mm-hmm, were negative. Like, I don't think there's anything that she wrote is like, oh, but he did this because X, Y, and Z. Like, she's, mm-hmm, like, no, it was fucked up.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping because of this email that you're seeing that this isn't the person for you. Like, yeah. I don't want to say, I hate saying never.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like he's willing to do any type of work that would help him heal to be a better partner for you.
No, he wants to manipulate her to the point that she's the woman he wants. Someone he can control, someone who does what he asks, someone who doesn't question his motives and allows him to venture into his business goals unchecked. No, I don't want that for her. She doesn't deserve that. She shouldn't be that person for anyone.
And it's so unfortunate because even in the beginning of the story, she talks about being divorced,
mm-hmm,
and healing from that. Like, she took the time. Like, she was aware that she couldn't just jump into something new.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute she felt ready, here comes fuckboy number two. I mean, you know, I don't know how her first marriage ended.
Yeah.
But the fact that she had to deal with this sucks.
And the fact that she's already thinking like, oh, I don't want to have two baby daddies. He probably knows that.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably using that to make her feel like she's not worthy. Like, who's going to love you now? Like, if you're not with me, you're not going to be with anyone because you're at this point like used goods. No. Like, my mom had three baby daddies and now her boyfriend's like 13 years younger than her. So...
Yeah, I just, real men don't get, I mean, listen, granted, for some men, even if you have one child, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
But look at me. I was Mr. I don't want kids to, I'm definitely not dating no one with kids. Oh, I'm not dating a girl from the Bronx. And it's like, all right, X, X, X. And
period.
So
I had that.
I just feel like any man that's for you.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter that you have two baby dads. It's just, mm-hmm, going to be like, oh, you have two children? That's unfortunate that those relationships didn't work out. Let me show you how a real man's supposed to treat you.
Yeah.
And that's the man for you. And I'm sure he's out there. But we're jumping ahead. The answer isn't like thinking like another relationship's going to fix the problems because I think
But it's also like not thinking that your value is diminished because of having two kids.
Yeah. But I also, there is some self-accountability that needs to happen here.
Because in what sense?
Although she was manipulated, you have to say, like, what, like, I, how do I say this?
She ignored the red flags.
Yeah.
So you're saying, like, yeah, he took advantage of you, but it's like you allowed him to, in a sense. And I think that's important to our healing, right? How can I hold myself accountable? How can I prevent it from happening again? Not taking away the responsibility from him,
mm-hmm.
but also I think it comes down to self-love and understanding our worth and not allowing people to take advantage of us. It's hard. It's easier said than done. But I think there's empowerment in that too, because if you say, you know what, I'm going to have some accountability for this, then I'm not going to let it happen again. Even if I come across another narcissist, another manipulator, another abuser, I ain't the one this time. So I see that. It's difficult to say because it sounds like you're removing responsibility from the abuser.
Yeah, that's why I caught myself.
But I understand what you're trying to say, though. And part of that was like, we can't ignore red flags.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough, especially you have a child, mm-hmm. especially that, you know, there's going to be some sort of communication for a long time to come.
Yeah.
But I think
the co-parenting,
the ultimate goal should just to be co-parents. Mm-hmm. And I think in the beginning, you have to keep it very surface. And it's mm-hmm. like, all right, you're picking up your child when, or I don't know if there's.
And there's also another part of leaving toxic relationships when you have children. You have a lot more to lose, right? Because the habits that the habits that you don't like from your partner, your child could pick up on them. And if it's a quality you don't want your kids to have, then you need to not have it in your house.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, I feel for you. And I would just say be very wary of falling for the apologies because you know they're going to come, especially that this isn't the norm, right? The mm-hmm. norm is he says, oh, we're breaking up. Then he comes back apologizing, come back and apologizes.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, you're like, you know what? No, mm-hmm. we shouldn't be together.
And it sounds like he uses breaking up with her to like manipulate her, to control her. Like, I'm done with you. So she could like tread more lightly next time so he doesn't break up with her.
And you're married. They're married.
I don't know if they're married.
Maybe not.
He might still be married to his ex.
Yeah, I don't think I recall.
I know she said she was divorced, but he was separated. I don't know if they got married, but they did have a child.
Okay. So mm-hmm. shit, that makes it easier if you're not married.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And it's like, I just feel like I want to talk to men sometimes. Like, I wish he was the one. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, the fuck are you thinking?
Mm-hmm. I also want people to reach out to us, not be afraid. Remember she said in the beginning, like, I've been wanting to ask, but I feel like maybe she wasn't ready. Like, she knew what we would say. Like, she knew we would call out the bullshit, but she wasn't ready to deal with that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's happened to me once where a friend was just keeping a lot of the toxic shit in her relationship a secret
mm-hmm.
and then finally told me everything. It was like, it's because I'm finally ready to let it go. So now I can tell you.
Like, hold me accountable.
Now I want you to hold me accountable. But it's like, if you already know, if you feel like you have to hide it, it's bad. If you're like, I'm afraid of people knowing what's happening, that's a red flag.
Yeah. Often that's like a good test to your issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you would be ashamed, like mm-hmm. embarrassed, like head Game of Thrones, shame.
Yeah.
Like, for anyone to know about a particular situation, you have to reevaluate what the hell you're
going. Yeah, like, imagine me having to say Travis was using my car, didn't pay tickets, and now I don't have a car. I would be so embarrassed.
And then you sit next to me while I go, welcome back.
Like, what? I would be sick. Yeah. So if you're embarrassed to tell people what's going on in your relationship, that's a red flag.
Yeah. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. I hope the best. I hope after hearing this, you know, we're here for you. It's not just a one and done. If you want to DM us or email us again, I just can't imagine it being easy.
Yeah. I think you did a good job with also y'all can relate.
Yeah, I need to remember my place more.
I was going to say, next time I'm going to pass you the laptop so you could like have a marker. You could like press enter. We ain't going to start
that's
over.
That's how you cheat.
That's, and I'd be nervous. I'd be thinking I'm fucking up, taking too long. But you did it right. It was your first time. I'll give you some grace.
2 weeks till Christmas. Are you excited?
I am excited. I feel like we're behind this year. Like, we don't have not a single gift purchased.
We're going to get it done today. We're going to order the babies their gifts.
It's been a lot. The podcast has been taking up a lot of our time, the merch, everything.
Yeah. And just, you know, being our time management.
Yeah.
And we're a work in progress.
Yeah.
What do you want for Christmas?
For Christmas, I want my new office to be done.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later, but we got some interesting things, some changes. I'm pivoting. I'm a stay-at-home mom now, but I also have a tutoring business. But I'm coming to terms with it being done and having to pivot just because it doesn't really go well with what we have going on with the podcast. No, this is the thing. I believe that we should live in a world where educators could be seen as full, complete humans, right? Like, you could be a teacher and also be a mother, and you can also be a pole dancer, and you can also be a podcaster. You could talk about sex. Like, we're all human beings, and I feel like we strip certain people of their humanity, right? They live in a fishbowl. So now if you become a teacher, I see you as this pure virgin vessel. Like, you can't have sex. You can't do anything.
That's why it always makes headlines whenever teachers are caught up in any type of scandal. I remember, like, there were these two female teachers who were, like, having an affair. And it was, like, it was literally in the news. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in elementary school, there was this teacher that she was on Ricky Lake. As all people were talking about, like, oh my God, he's on Ricky Lake. And it's like, so fucking what? She still got a degree just like the rest of y'all motherfuckers. Like, whatever. Anyway.
For the TikTokers, Ricky Lake is a...
my God, I feel mad old. But anyway, it's like some, like, it's like Wendy Williams type show, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but I feel like with what I'm doing with the podcast and just being on the internet and being public and talking about sex and cursing and stuff, I feel a little bit uncomfortable, like, running my tutoring business at the same time, like, working with children. I just don't want it to one day some hater try to, like, blackmail me or try to, like, ruin my reputation or some shit. So I feel like I'm at a point where I'm ready to, like, let it go. And I'm still going to be an educator, but to a different capacity, but more on that to come. And so, yeah, that's what I want for Christmas, for that pivot
to be complete,
for all those transitions that I need to make to happen. What do you want for Christmas?
I was about to say, yeah, I noticed you in it. I'm good. I'm good.
You was ready to say I didn't ask you, but I did.
No. Yeah, I'm good. I don't need anything. Don't want anything.
Nothing at all.
Maybe some 6ix9ine?
No? Shit's whack.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good. I really can't think of anything I want.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's something. You want ice skates? In ice a size skates? 13?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Maybe.
Or maybe let's see if the ice skating rink around here carries size 13.
Did we tell that story?
I don't know.
Well, basically, we went ice skating. They didn't have my size, and what could have been a really fun experience was cut short because my toes were throwing up gang signs.
They were too tight. Size 12 and a half.
So we were like, oh, maybe we should just go buy some ice skates and we could do it more often. But it's like, I just feel like we don't have no time.
And I don't just want, like, we got hiking boots and then never went hiking again.
Killed it that one time though.
Yeah. We went twice. Or I went twice.
You went without
you
me.
Only went once with me? Okay.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Episode 69 is wrapped. Next week is episode 70. I'm excited. I know we used to, in the beginning, put numbers like, oh, episode 10, episode 11.
Uh-huh.
But it's still like milestones.
Yeah, 70
is a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Anyway, My love.
Daddy.
Do you still like me?
I still like you.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.